Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Yes, that's right. It's another Triple M footy news update. My name is Tom Beers, filling in the host chair for Rudy. He's on holidays, well-earned break. And as ever, I'm joined by Tommy Brown. Welcome, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy. Lots to discuss this morning, and I hope Rudy's enjoying his break.
Yeah, he's just sunning himself up on the Gold Coast at the moment.
That'd be a pretty sight.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get straight into it, mate. You've got a little bit of mail on Jeremy Cameron. The Cats have said that he's going to come back, but there's a few whispers around.
Yes, I reported on Wednesday on this podcast and also on Channel 7. I thought he was in doubt again for this week. There's some persistent concerns with his hamstring. Chris Scott made reference to it at the post-game press conference last weekend, saying that he thought he'd be back this week, Cameron, but he sort of put it on the medical staff. And Chris Scott again put it on the medical staff in his press conference, I think it was yesterday. So I think that discussion just shows perhaps a bit of frustration on the part of Chris Scott. They've brought in this big gun and they can't quite get him right. And I think it's interesting that he's even mentioned the medical staff. And I think he's in a degree of doubt again for this weekend. So the proof will be whether Big Jezza runs out at the Cattery against West Coast tomorrow.
It'd be pretty big for them to come out and announce that he's going to play and then pull the pin on him, though, wouldn't it?
Look, that can happen from time to time. If he's had a hamstring setback, he's had a hamstring setback. Yeah. But I have heard they just can't quite get them right, the hamstrings.
Very interesting. We'll watch this space on that one. The other big talking point has been the increase in crowd capacity for the Anzac Day weekend, notably the Richmond-Melbourne game and the Collingwood-Essendon games at the G, bumped up to 85,000 capacity.
Yeah, I think there's a view. It's 85% this weekend, which is great. Not 100%, but 85%. The reason it couldn't go to 100% is because I think this government's still a little bit conscious about the contact tracing. I'm not getting political and blaming the government. I don't think everyone's engaging in huge contact tracing at the moment.
No.
We've all probably got a part to play in that. But I think they're a little bit concerned that 100% is just a little bit aggressive at the moment.
Yep.
So it'll be 85% this weekend. I think the AFL is definitely happy with that. There's a view that tomorrow night, the Melbourne-Richmond crowd could be bigger than the Collingwood-Essendon crowd. Now, Collingwood-Essendon is a huge tradition. People go just because of the sense of occasion. But it's a bit of a test. Essendon's obviously developing. And Collingwood's obviously, I think some of the members are a little bit upset at Collingwood at the moment, it's fair to say. So It'll be interesting to see how Collingwood had a soft crowd against the Giants, albeit on a cold Saturday night against the Giants. Sunday night, a test for both those sides too.
Being a Collingwood fan, I think the Magpie Army will roll out on Sunday, having not been in an Anzac Day game last year. So, you know, they've been deprived of it. And like you said, it's a big occasion that they turn up for.
And the MCC, I think, will be full. I spoke to them a couple of days ago. Yep. And also, I think the AFL members will be basically full. So they should get pretty close.
It'll go close. Crowd. Yep. Moving on, you broke the story for Triple M Footy yesterday about John Worsfold, I should say, joining forces with the Blues as kind of a mentor for David Teague.
And a consultant.
Is that a strange appointment? What do you think?
I think it's good that they've got some support to boost Teague. They didn't come up with a new coach last year. I think they introduced Henry Playfair, but then due to COVID cost cuts, had to get rid of him.
Right.
So they haven't really changed the coaching panel.
Yeah.
So I think any support around Teague's good. Worsfold, I don't think, is regarded as a great statistician. Great tactician.
Yeah.
And I think Essendon, with the confusion last year, sort of went backwards with that arrangement. That wasn't necessarily John Worsfold's fault. He's clearly a good manager and he knows a lot about process. And he certainly wants to help out other coaches. He did that up in the Hub last year and wants to help out Teague. They've got a long-standing relationship. I think that I had some mail that Teague and Brad Lloyd, who's the Carlton footy manager, did tell the Blues board at the start of the year that it was their opinion they had sufficient coaching expertise.
Okay.
So it's interesting they've made this appointment, but I think it's good. I mean, other clubs have gone in this direction. Sydney obviously got Don Pike in as a senior assistant to John Longmire. So, you know, bringing in the expertise can help. Melbourne did the same thing with obviously Alan Richardson as football manager, but most notably Mark Williams this year, and they haven't lost a game. So, and that wasn't a knock on Simon Goodwin. It was to get him additional support. It does mean that Carlton's going to have less options if they lose their next few games and there's pressure on Teague. I mean, they've got Brisbane, Essendon, the Bulldogs, then Melbourne.
That's a pretty rough run.
It's a rough run. And it's funny. I mean, Carlton did go on record, Chris Judd is saying they didn't want to coach with training wheels on. They brought in Teague, Juddy and Campbell, one of the directors and HR advisors down there, which is great. I like David Teague. But now they've gone back and got him some more experience. So there is a little bit of I wouldn't say confused, but mixed messaging coming from the Blues. Having said that, if it helps the team, I think it's a good decision.
Yeah, it's a very important month coming up for the Blues. Before we wrap this up, you wanted to touch on the Pies presidency with Mark Corder being announced.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sort of, in a sense, constrained by what I can say, but I did notice the other night, I think there's been a really mature discussion this week regarding the role of members in determining boards and presidents. Members want to see clubs win. You know, they don't want to get involved in board spats and all the rest of it. But I did hear an interesting discussion, I think it was with Bob Murphy on SEN during the week, and they discussed it, about whether members should have a say on boards from time to time. And I think that would be entirely fair at the appropriate time for the Collingwood members, in light of the Do Better report and also the trade period, to perhaps have a say on what's going on at board level. And I noticed on Footy Classified the other night, Eddie and Andrew Dimitriou both came out and said, well, we don't want an AGM. Well, I sort of scratched my head and think to myself, well, why shouldn't we have EGMs at clubs from time to time? You don't want a board spat at the end of every season where you have some big election. Yeah. That's why these sort of constitutions came into force. But I think a lot of clubs have gone down the route of sort of cutting off activist members, not activist members, cutting off members that want to get on the board. And I think there's going to be a bit of a discussion about that over the next few months, because I think that that process isn't necessarily a bad thing. Having said that, I don't think many boards would want to go to an AGM. If that was forced upon them, they'd probably relent. But I just think there's a bit of a discussion there to be had about whether members should get a say from time to time, particularly in extenuating circumstances, which I think what's occurring at Collingwood at the moment.
Yeah, very true. A slightly off script, do you think it's a bit interesting that we haven't heard or seen much of Mark Corder saying, you know, the biggest club, or one of the biggest clubs in the land, have made such a big positional change, and you would have thought that they'd be doing PR everywhere, he'd be in the newspapers interviewing, he'd be on radio everywhere, TV everywhere, and we haven't really heard or seen much of him. Do you think that's on purpose, or do you think he's just he doesn't want the fanfare?
No, he's never, well, there's always been Eddie to front the club,
yeah,
and that's always sort of been the case. Collingwood put him out on a couple of interviews yesterday. He's clearly not a smooth interview performer.
Yeah.
He's more of a boardroom sort of numbers guy.
Okay.
He's a brilliant accountant, I think, or a very smart accountant.
Yeah.
He's a liquidator. And I don't think sort of media is his go, but it'll be interesting to see how he goes in that regard, representing Collingwood, because you need key relationships with the AFL. You need them with government. You need them with the broadcasters. You need to have a vision of what's going to happen. And I think, I imagine Collingwood members will want to see that from the new president. And it was a bit... I didn't learn much yesterday.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a big part of the role being the face of one of the biggest organisations in the country.
Yeah, so. And it's good for the competition when Collingwood's going well. So yeah. Hopefully they go well.
Yeah, well, that's another one. We'll watch this space. Before we wrap up, we'll just quickly go through what some of the big headlines will be over the weekend, and what, when we do our next podcast on Monday morning, what we'll be talking about. What do you see unfolding?
Well, we'll learn more about the Giants in this recent run of form when they face the Bulldogs, the informed Bulldogs in Canberra tonight. The Giants usually play well up there, as do the Bulldogs, having said that. Geelong, we'll find out if Jeremy Cameron plays tomorrow. That'll be a big talking point, where they can get him right and how the Cats go. Their form's been very iffy. I know they beat North last week, but it was very underwhelming.
Just going, aren't they?
Yeah. Just going. Carlton, big game. They've got to start winning at some point against the Lions. The Lions were in good form against the Bombers last week. So there'll be a lot of discussion about Carlton's performance this weekend, particularly with John Worsfold attending the game. Melbourne-Richmond tomorrow night, we'll learn more about Melbourne. They're just going beautifully. I saw Christian Petrarca kick that goal in front of me in the forward pocket last weekend. He's an absolute jet.
Can play.
And there'll be discussion out of the crowd, Collingwood, Essendon, and also how the Pies go. I think Essendon's clearly said they're developing, but if the Bombers could knock off the Pies, that would be a big story.
Yeah.
And just on the Saints, Dan Hanbury's had another setback, soft tissue-wise, with his calves. St Kilda are scratching their heads because they think that perhaps there's another issue at play, another medical issue, because they just keep injuring, not under heavy loads.
Yeah, okay. Another setback that's no good for him. But the Saints could definitely use him out there at the moment, that's for sure.
Correct.
I think that'll just about do us for today. Massive weekend of footy coming up on Triple M. Stay tuned to our socials for all the latest, and we'll be back on Monday for another news update.
Thanks, Tommy.